Coming to you from the mountains and the plains, the only conservative voices brave enough to push back. This is the Conservative Daily Podcast with Joe Altman.
That's what the Second Amendment was designed to do. If you're going to do something to nullify or take away my rights under the Constitution, come get it.
Max McGuire.
When you look at politicians on the left, they need to convince people that they are victims.
A resistance to the resistance.
And now your hosts, Joe Altman and Max McGuire.
And welcome back to another edition of the Conservative Daily Podcast. My name is Max McGuire. Joe is on his way back from D.C., so he will not be on the podcast again today. I believe he's either in the air or about to land shortly. So he's not going to make it on in time for us to go live. So it's just me today, but we hope to have him back soon, as soon as he's back in town. A couple things to go through before we start. On Monday, we are planning to start going to a two-hour format. So we're planning starting Monday, and we're going to, I guess, go week by week by this, see if it works. On Monday, we're going to start trying to broadcast for 2 hours. So we'll stay going live at our normal time period, 2 p.m. Eastern, but we'll be staying on for a second hour. We're going to try different kinds of formats, 1 hour being about one topic, 1 hour being about another topic. We'll try one format where it's the same topic, but it's opened up for phone calls on the second hour. And then maybe guests. We're going to try different ways of doing it. But big news, starting on Monday, we're going to be going to a two-hour format. And for the audio version of the podcast, we're not going to be publishing a single two-hour long audio file. We'll be publishing 2 hour long audio files. So just a heads up with that. That's starting Monday. And I know a lot of people have asked for that. And ask and ye shall receive. So that's the big news for us. I want to also start out with debunking something that a lot of people have been sending to us. Yesterday, Lynn Wood posted something that purports to be emails between Mike Pence and Paul Ryan back in October of 2016. Ms. Brewster, go ahead, put up my screen. This is basically, these are emails that purport to be between the two of them talking about cutting Trump out of the race and making it a Pence-Ryan ticket. This is why I have a real problem with Lynn Wood. He doesn't actually look into what he posts before he posts it. For all the criticism we get, we try to verify as much as we can before we go live. Right at the top of this page, it says an email chain from one of the project managers of a website, Pence-Ryan 2016 campaign ticket, that was called off after Trump won his second debate, obtained by realtruenews.org. That is a big red flag, because realtruenews.org is literally a fake news site. It's satire. It's not real news. Their byline is fake but accurate. So they publish stories that are fake, but are also kind of accurate in their total messaging. So that documentation that Lynn Wood shared yesterday, I know it's been making the rounds. It is not real. And it's not because I don't want it to be real. It just isn't. So don't listen. We have to vet everything that's being pushed out. There's a lot of people who are very upset, very frustrated, and they're just kind of shooting from the hip. And there's a lot of stuff that's being pushed around that isn't necessarily true. And we're going to make sure that we call that out whenever we see it. So just keep a lookout for things. If you see something that feels too good to be true, it probably is. Make sure that you do a deep dive before you start sharing it around. Not because you shouldn't be able to share whatever you want, but because I guarantee whoever shared that in the next day or two will get a swift fact check. That's the interesting thing about going 2 hours starting on Monday. Double the fact checks. So that'll be a lot of fun. So we're talking today about this news now that after not succeeding in getting Mike Pence to use the 25th Amendment to remove Trump from office, because Nancy Pelosi, we know Nancy Pelosi called Mike Pence yesterday trying to get him to use the 25th Amendment to remove Trump from office. And anyone who doesn't remember, the 25th Amendment allows the vice president and the cabinet to remove the president if he is unfit for office. So the only times that this has really ever been used has been when the president has gone into surgery, he's been under anesthesia, and he's not been conscious, right? In those cases, powers are temporarily taken from the president, given to the vice president, and then given back once the president's back on his feet. It's also possible to use it for someone who's just completely lost their mind or is too sick to govern, right? Nancy Pelosi wanted Mike Pence to use the 25th Amendment to remove Trump from office. And despite everything, Pence still refused to even take the call. And that might be one of the reasons that we're seeing Trump cabinet members, such as Mitch McConnell's wife, running and resigning because they realize they're not going to get their way. They're not going to be able to use the 25th Amendment to remove Trump from office. So the Democrats have another plan. They're going to impeach Trump again. Yes, that is right. They are going to impeach the president of the United States again, as if the first time wasn't good enough. But this time, they have Republican support. A number of Republicans have voiced support for this. We have Adam Kinzinger, a Republican representative from Illinois, says he supports the impeachment. Ben Sasse, senator from Nebraska, says that he's open to the idea. Lindsey Graham has said he would support it if Trump does anything else wrong. So the GOP is now completely turning on President Trump. And if you ask yourself, why are they talking about impeaching the president a week and a half before his term would end? There's a couple reasons. So the Democrats have different reasonings than Republicans. The Democrats obviously want to cause as much pain, as much embarrassment to Trump as possible. But they also want to impeach him to get rid of his pardon power. So they are expecting, and this may happen, it may not. We've heard reports that Trump is planning preemptive pardons pretty much for everyone, so they don't have to deal with frivolous prosecution after they leave office, because we know that the Biden administration wants to prosecute all of them. So there's lots of reporting that Trump is considering pardoning himself even, and other people in his administration, his family members, just so they don't have to be dealing with the BS prosecutions. If Democrats impeach the president before he does that, then he can't do it. So that's one of the main reasons driving Democrats wanting to do this. The Republicans have a completely different logic behind this. If you are impeached and removed from office, right? So that's impeached and convicted. If you are impeached and convicted, you are barred from ever again holding federal office. So the Republicans see Trump as a problem in over the next 4 years, especially in 2024, if he chooses to run again. They don't want that. They want to close the book on the Trump presidency. Now, whether or not Trump should or could or will run in 2024, that's up to him to decide. That's up to the voters and the primary voters to decide. But Republicans want to take that off the table entirely. So there are Republicans who hope that by impeaching Trump, they can remove him from office, put this all behind him, and stop Trump from ever running again for public office. So you have this weird, unholy alliance between the far left and the establishment GOP talking about using impeachment a week and a half before the end of the president's term to remove him from office. Crazy, crazy stuff. And then we have this, Mr. Producer, put up my screen. This is from Nancy Pelosi. I'm going to try and make it so that you can read this. It's actually hard because my head is blocking it. Let me raise this up a little bit. So right there, this is what's really terrifying to me. Preventing an unhinged president from using the nuclear codes. This morning, I spoke to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mark Milley, to discuss available precautions for preventing an unstable president from initiating military hostilities or accessing the launch codes and ordering a nuclear strike. The situation of this unhinged president could not be more dangerous, and we must do everything that we can to protect the American people from this his unbalanced assault on our country and our democracy. That is Nancy Pelosi's latest reasoning for wanting to get Trump out of office. She's terrified that on the way out, he's going to just start dropping nukes on people, apparently. That's the latest fear. I mean, that's an old Democrat talking point, that Trump is unfit to be president because he can't be trusted with his hand on the nuclear button. And yet here we are 4 years later. Trump is the only president since what? Eisenhower? Yeah, I guess it would be Eisenhower. The only president since Eisenhower not to get the United States involved in a new military conflict. Now, I know some people say that Jimmy Carter should be considered, but I firmly believe that when Jimmy Carter ordered U.S. Special Forces into Iran, I count that. So I would say Trump's the first since Eisenhower not to get us involved in a new conflict. But now they're saying he's going to nuke the world. He didn't get what he wants, so he's going to nuke the world. The Speaker of the House is having conversations with the Pentagon on ways to stop the President of the United States from being able to faithfully execute the duties of his office, which is, if necessary, ordering a nuclear strike, either a first strike or a retaliatory strike. Incredible. Incredible. If that's not treasonous, I don't know what possibly could be. Now, we have some cuts that I want to play, and Well, let's just, before we even get into this, because we're gonna cover how the media is completely spinning this thing. But I want to again play, just for everyone, just in case there's any doubt, I want to play that cut that we played yesterday from Trump's speech, explaining that he wants people to go to the Capitol building and to protest peacefully. Peacefully. So let's go ahead and play cut 3.
We have come to demand that Congress do the right thing and only count the electors who have been lawfully slated. Lawfully slated. I know that everyone here will soon be marching over to the Capitol building to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard. Today we will see whether Republicans stand strong for integrity of our election.
So peacefully, he wanted them to peacefully go and protest. So all this talk about Donald Trump egging them on, encouraging them to storm the Capitol building, the more I look at this, you have really the amount of people who actually stormed the Capitol. I'm not talking about the people who, after the doors were open, waltzed in, which most of them have been actually reporting that they thought they were allowed in. So not even counting those, you had people who were looking to get into a fight. And yes, there's still some accusations out there that some of them might have been Antifa, infiltrated by Antifa. Some of them might have been right wing, really far right wing people trying to stir up problems. So you had those people, and then you had everyone there who were there to peacefully assemble. You had kids, people bringing their kids, right? How many of the people there, we watched it. There were grandparents there. There were parents. There were children. I mean, that wasn't a revolution. That was a protest that, for whatever reason, got heated. They forced their way into the Capitol. And yes, 4 people got killed. One woman got shot, as we mentioned, Miss Babbitt. 3 other protesters died from medical emergencies. And we saw the reporting yesterday that one officer died. There was original reporting that the police officer was bashed in the head by a Trump supporter with a fire extinguisher, which right there, that kind of seems a little fishy. So there's some reporting saying that, but there's other reporting saying that, yeah, he got into some scuffles, but he was fine. He didn't go to the hospital. He went to the police precinct and he died of an aneurysm. So there's lots of different reporting, but even with all those differences, the federal government's still opening up a murder investigation. Interesting about that. I say this though, because Donald Trump did not order that. He ordered them to go peacefully and protest. And almost everyone did. The majority of the people who walked into the Capitol building did so peacefully. Like, let's go ahead and put up image 3. This is image 3. This is what the mainstream media are calling domestic terrorists. This is how they left the Capitol. 2x2, not single file, double file, walking through Statuary Hall, respectfully, inside of the velvet ropes. Those are the domestic terrorists. Those are the domestic terrorists. So even the majority of the people who entered the Capitol were just basically tourists, taking pictures, taking selfies. We saw people taking selfies with police officers. We saw police officers deliberately opening doors, opening barricades to let people in. Lots of funny business there. And I've no doubt that there are people who were there committing violent acts, breaking the law, stealing things, looting things. We covered that guy who stole Nancy Pelosi's podium. We covered that yesterday. It's mildly humorous. It's still illegal. They're going to get what the law says they deserve. But the vast majority of the people who were there on Wednesday and were even in the Capitol building were just walking around peacefully. And yet they've branded the entire movement, everyone who was there, as a domestic terrorist, and saying that Donald Trump encouraged or even ordered them to lay siege to the United States Capitol. I want to play this cut because this is a super cut of all different people in the left-wing media attacking conservatives for what happened on Wednesday. Let's go ahead and play cut 2.
Donald J. Trump called for the insurrection against the United States of America.
You talked about Al-Qaeda. What has he done in terms of incitement, right, that Osama bin Laden didn't do?
Each of these people should be shamed, and they're going to go back, you know, to the Olive Garden and to the Holiday Inn that they're staying at.
The way that we in the media speak about this
right
is
there.
So...
saying, what did Trump do that was different than what that Osama bin Laden did? Well, no, Osama bin Laden paid for, trained, and executed a terrorist attack against the World Trade Center, right, the Pentagon, and an unnamed federal building. The plane didn't reach it. It was crashed in a field in Pennsylvania, right? That was a legitimate terrorist attack. Thousands, that was over 3,000 people died. More people are still dying from the respiratory diseases, cancer associated with working at Ground Zero. But that was a real terrorist attack. And you have Joy Reid saying, this was the same. This was the same. It was the same. Mr. Producer, put up that image 3 again. Image 3. Tell me, does this look like 9/11? Not condoning it. Not condoning what happened at all. Does this look like 9/11? Did the 9/11 hijackers stay inside the velvet ropes? No. They snuck fix cutters onto planes, cut the throats of stewardesses, rushed the cockpit, and crashed the planes into buildings. And yet they're actually saying that what happened on Capitol Hill was the same as 9/11. Oh, Trump's in the same category as Osama bin Laden. And they say it with a straight face. Let's play that again. Let's play that clip, cut to again from the beginning. Sorry, I get heated over this. Let's play it again, Mr. Producer, cut to from the beginning.
Donald J. Trump called for the insurrection against the United States of America.
You talked about Al-Qaeda. What has he done in terms of incitement, right, that Osama bin Laden didn't do?
Each of these people should be shamed, and they're going to go back, you know, to the Olive Garden and to the Holiday Inn that they're staying at.
The way that we in the media
Pause it right there. We won't start from the beginning next time. Anderson Cooper saying, they're going to go back to their Olive Gardens. They're going to go back to their Holiday Inn. I mean, you can taste, you can hear the condescension dripping from his language. It's not that they hate what they did, right? It's not that they hate the idea of storming the Capitol. That's not what they hate. Because if they did, they would have had the same language when this happened. Let's play cut 4. That is leftist protesters storming one of the congressional office buildings and seizing the atrium in protest of Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation. I mean, cut it. That was 2 years ago. 2 years ago. And you didn't hear Anderson Cooper saying, they're going to all go back to their Olive Gardens or go back to Holiday Inn Expresses. No, because they agreed with it. They were called peaceful protesters. Even when leftists burned their cities to the ground, CNN reported it as a mostly peaceful protest. The famous picture, we don't have it, but everyone remembers, you can see it in your mind's eye, of that CNN or whatever agency reporter standing in front of a burning building and saying it's a fiery but mostly peaceful protest. Like, come on. And they're saying that what happened on Wednesday was equal to Al-Qaeda. Let's go back to cut 2 and let's play it from where we paused.
This is so important.
Today was terrorism.
We call them terrorists.
Terrorists.
Domestic terrorists.
Domestic terrorists.
Domestic terrorists.
These people are not Americans.
Kevin McCarthy was on Fox calling this un-American. Marco Rubio.
I don't know. There's a lot of...
Say again, I don't condone it. Don't condone it. Laws were broken. Ironically, there are people who are going to probably be prosecuted under the same executive order that Donald Trump signed to give 10-year prison sentences to people who were destroying statues. It's very ironic in all of this. Don't condone it. But to say it's un-American, I want to be very careful with how I use my words here. And again, I don't condone what happened, but to say it's un-American is to prove that you actually don't know American history. I mean, these are the kind of people, they had a word for this during the Revolution. They were called loyalists or royalists. People in the American colonies who didn't want revolution. I'm not saying that this is revolution. I'm not saying that's necessarily where we're going. But these were royalists. So when you hear them saying, this is un-American, can you imagine if these talking heads were the ones deciding whether or not to break from Great Britain? What would have happened? We wouldn't be a country. We'd be colonies. Right? It is as American as it gets. And again, not condoning violence, but the idea of storming a Capitol building to stop a fraudulent election results from being certified, that is American. Now, you can say that shouldn't be American. You should say that we should move past that. But throughout history, that historically has been what people did. We as a country used to tar and feather people. We used to tar and feather tax collectors because we didn't like how much of our money they were taking away. right? Look up the Whiskey Rebellion, right? We win the Revolutionary War. We win the Revolutionary War. We have the Articles of Confederation. The government levies a tax on whiskey. And George Washington actually has to march troops to put down an active rebellion over an increase in the tax on alcohol. Like, that's America. You say, oh, well, we should be better than that. Fine. But that's American. That's our history. That's our heritage. When you see something bad, you do something about it. And that's not condoning what happened. I'm going to say it again because people are going to twist my words. But to just blanket statement say it's un-American, it's a little bit more complicated than that. Let's go ahead and go back to cut two. Let's play where we left off.
Empty rhetoric. There's a lot of empty concern.
Hawley, I should say, of all people, had the nerve to condemn the violence that we saw today.
Josh Hawley should resign in ignominy. Ted Cruz as well. But honestly, Mitch McConnell too.
Shame on them. Shame on those senators. They sided with domestic terrorists yesterday, and we won't forget it.
And this in no way absolves them of the sin and the sins that they and the president had committed against this country.
And if Donald Trump Jr., Rudy Giuliani, and Donald Trump are not arrested today for insurrection and taken to jail and booked.
It was encouraged by our Republican colleagues. And that is why every single one of them, especially because they have been the ones trying to steal this election. That's why we are calling for them to be removed.
But then Trump supporters come in and you open the fucking doors for them.
Language, Joe Scarborough. I apologize. I apologize to all of our listeners that you just had to listen to that. I really apologize. I am sorry if you don't like cursing. We make a great effort not to curse. Apparently, Joe Scarborough has his panties in a twist. The left-wing media is going nuts. Absolutely nuts. Absolutely nuts, claiming that this was insurrection. I mean, Ms. Brewster, put up my screen. This is the latest news today. Simon & Schuster has canceled Senator Josh Hawley's upcoming book because saying that he incited the Capitol attacks. All Josh Hawley did was formally object, which he has a legal right to do under Title III, Section 15 of the United States Code. He objected. And yet, as he walked into the Capitol building, he looked at a couple of people and he raised his arm up like that. That is the extent to which Josh Hawley had anything to do with any of those protests. So he just had his book canceled by Simon & Schuster, just like we just heard those leftists saying he should be removed. Well, apparently the book publisher wants to stop him from publishing his book. It's amazing. I mean, this is the cancel culture. And ironically, his book is about big tech cancel culture. This is the cancel culture that we were worried about, that we said was going to come. They are fast forwarding this, people. And this is a great time to tell everyone that Facebook and YouTube are going down the list and they are banning any conservative platform, any conservative voices that use their platforms. So I'm going to stop right here and remind everyone, if you haven't already, please, please, please text the word freedom, F-R-E-E-D-O-M, to 89517. There's also a link in our description to sign up for our email newsletters. I'm saying this because if the ban hammer comes down, we have been very, very clear and using very precise language in an attempt to not get banned this week. Right? This is a war. This isn't a battle. We have to fight the war. We have to make sure that we don't lose the war by stupidly fighting a battle, right? I need everyone, if they haven't already, text the word freedom to 89517. Use the link in the description. I just put it in the comment sections as well to join our email newsletter. Because if we get banned, this is how we are going to keep the show going. We have other ways of broadcasting. We have the ability to broadcast directly to our website. If that happens, we'll put a comment section up there. So we have other means of broadcasting, but if we do get taken down, it's vitally important that you get yourself added to that email list, get yourself added to our text list so we can let you know the next steps. Okay, public service announcement over. But it's really serious. It really is serious because we don't know what's going to happen. We've been trying to toe the line while also reporting the truth. But anything could happen. These people are completely unhinged. Mr. Producer, was that the end of that clip, or did you just cut it because he dropped the F-bomb?
I cut it because I did not like his use of language, and I was kind of getting angry at him anyway.
Let's start back up from there, and warning everyone, earmuffs, he might keep cursing. Let's go back and play the rest of cut two.
Doors for them, and let them breach the people's house!
Yeah. All right, we can cut it there. That was put together by Grabian, if you didn't know. I liked it. I thought it was a good use of editing. Things you have to say to make sure it qualifies as fair use. It's incredible. The you can hear the condescension dripping from their voices. You can see the anger. And they didn't care when leftist mobs were burning down city blocks. They didn't care when the leftists were storming the Capitol buildings protesting Kavanaugh. They didn't care when leftists stormed the Capitol building protesting the Affordable Care Act. Democrats do this every couple of years. Literally, anytime something goes even remotely against the left in this country, they riot. And that's not condoning what happened. I'm going to keep saying it just so I can't have my words twisted. That's not condoning it. But shame on the fake pearl clutching we're seeing from the media. Say, oh, they went into the sacred people's house. Let's calm down and call a spade a spade. To borrow a line from Star Wars, delivered by Obi-Wan Kenobi, the people's house, Congress, is not a sacred hall. It's a place of scum and villainy, right? If you're looking for the most the most scummy place in the country, where all of the corrupt people gather, it's Congress, right? It's a den of scum and villainy. And the people taking part in these backroom deals and these bribes are now saying, oh, it's hallowed ground. How dare anyone step foot on hallowed ground? And we'll put up image three again. Put up image three. They were just walking around. They didn't even cross over the velvet ropes. Again, I said it yesterday. I'll say it again. I dare anyone, the next time BLM rallies, I dare anyone to put a velvet rope against any historical statue and just pull out a stopwatch and see how long that velvet rope stays up. I dare anyone. I mean, this is what's so infuriating. And again, to beat a dead horse, not condoning it. But the fake pearl clutching that, oh, these are terrorists. This is akin to Osama bin Laden. How dare you? I just don't see it. We have the phone lines open again today, 888-441-1121. Anyone wants to call and let us know, what do you think about the pearl clutching? What do you think about the impeachment? Because, yeah, that's happening. We started the show talking about it. We'll keep talking about it. Impeaching Trump a week and a half before his term ends because Nancy Pelosi is afraid he's going to nuke the world. Democrats want to make sure he can be prosecuted for made-up crimes, and Republicans don't want him to ever run for president again, so impeaching him would stop that. Let me know what you think. 888-441-1121. Kim says in the comment section, I can't decide if it's better to be awake or still sleeping. Well, no, you got to be awake. This is a really crappy week. There's no doubt about that. This is a crappy, crappy week. But the fight isn't over. I say this time and time again. This is when we need to fight 10 times harder, because what they're going to start pushing through, I guarantee that they use what happened at the Capitol to push gun control. Even though there's only been reported that one person had a handgun, one person had a rifle, which, okay, they're going to use that to disarm everyone. And this is the other part that really gets me. They said that Donald Trump ordered it, that he ordered a siege on the Capitol. If Donald Trump ordered that siege, that would have been 100 times worse. It's almost insulting. Like, if I was Donald Trump, I would feel insulted by people claiming that that's what would happen if he ordered people to do something. Like, I feel a little insulted. It's kind of like when the media claims that Joe is a member of the militia. He's not a member of a militia, but if he was in a militia, he certainly wouldn't be a member. He'd be the leader, right? It almost feels a little insulting that way. But I'm stunned, because if that actually was an ordered assault on the Capitol, like if that's what that was, then Trump doesn't have the power that everyone says he does, because 4 people died. Yes, it was tragic. 3 medical emergencies. 1 poor woman, a veteran, was shot in the neck by Capitol Hill security from 3 feet away. Yeah, it's tragic. And one police officer reportedly lost his life. Some saying he was beaten to death. Other people said he had an aneurysm standing in a police precinct. He lost his life. It's all tragic, right? But if that was actually ordered, it would have been 100 times worse. And I think we all know that. Like, if it came down that it's time for everyone to fight, it would have been a lot worse. Caddy on YouTube says, when do our classes and our re-education start? It almost seems like a joke. But Mr. Producer, put up image one. This is a tweet from Rick Klein. He promptly deleted it, but it was a tweet. It did go out. Rick Klein, he says, quote, Trump will be an ex-president in 13 days. The fact is that getting rid of Trump is the easy part. Cleansing the movement he commands is going to be something else, with a link to ABC News. Now, Rick Klein, okay, who is Rick Klein? Does Rick Klein matter? Yes, actually, he really does. Go ahead and put up image number two. Rick Klein is the political director for ABC. He is the political director for ABC, I presume ABC News. And he's tweeting about cleansing the country of Trump supporters. The 72 plus million people who voted for the president, the narrative is now cleansing. So we ask, when do the re-education camps start? It's a joke, but there are leftists who want that. There are leftists who truly believe that the next step, after you drag Trump out of office, after you throw his entire family, including Barron, damn it, Barron Trump's going to prison too. He's a whiz with the cyber. We can't trust him. Lock Barron up too. Kid's so tall. He knows the cyber. He can't be out there running around. Once that all happens, they're coming for you. They are absolutely coming for you. And it's not hyperbole. It's not fear-mongering. They just deplatformed the president of the United States. The Trump Organization, a company that Donald Trump put in a blind trust that he no longer runs, Shopify turned off their store. Shopify is a company that provides turnkey ways for other companies to create online stores. It's very hard to create an online store. Costs a lot of money if you want to develop it yourself. Shopify makes it easy. The Trump Organization had nothing to do with that. Nothing. But because Donald Trump gave a speech saying everyone go to the Capitol and protest peacefully, the biggest e-commerce company in the country deplatformed the company bearing the president's name. President Trump has been kicked off of Facebook, kicked off of YouTube, kicked off of Instagram, kicked off of Twitch. Oh no, he's not going to be able to do the video game streams anymore. All the social media, it is like he doesn't exist. If they can do that to him, they can do that to anyone. And we learned yesterday from Ajit Pai. Give me a second. Let me put it up on the screen. Ajit Pai. Mr. Producer, put up my screen. Ajit Pai was the FCC chairman. Trump appointed him to that position. So you remember a couple months back, Donald Trump signed an executive order ordering the expedited review of Section 230. We've talked about this on the podcast for a long time. Don't want to do too much of a deep dive into it. Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act basically muddies the waters between a platform and a publisher. It lets tech companies censor people without then being liable for what gets posted. Very, very nuanced, but Trump signed an executive order ordering the expedited redefinition of that section of the law. Ajit Pai was his appointed FCC chairman. Well, Ajit Pai resigned a couple weeks ago. He resigned. His term keeps going. He could have stayed on for a few more months, maybe even been a year, but he resigned. He said, I don't want to do this anymore. And just yesterday, he said that because he's resigning, he will not have enough time to put into effect the Section 230 reclarification rules. There won't be enough time. So I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it. So everything you're seeing now with big tech, censoring Trump, deplatforming Trump, the walkaway people, the people who did the walkaway, which is an organization encouraging people to walk away from the Democrat Party. That's what it is. They just got taken off of Facebook. I guarantee you that every organization that ran one of the protests in Washington, D.C. over the week, they'll be deplatformed. They'll go after anyone who owned them, anyone who ran them. They're going to try and wipe everyone off the internet. This is exactly what we warned. Exactly what they warned. If they can do it to Trump, they can do it to anyone. Imagine, and just like other countries do this. In Britain, there are banks that will cancel the accounts of people who are conservative. This happens in the United States, right? There was a program under the Obama administration encouraging banks to cancel the accounts of gun stores. That's real. That was a real program under the Obama administration. If you were a gun store and you had an account with a bank, they encouraged the bank to cancel your account, saying you were akin to a drug dealer. Is that what's next? They're going to start canceling people's bank accounts? Really? There was a guy who was donating money to help people get to Washington, D.C. I don't want to share his name because he has enough problems right now. He was donating money to people so they could get to Washington, D.C. He just had his account frozen by PayPal, and they stole $2,000 of his money. Why? Because he had the audacity to send cash to help people pay for gas so they could drive to Washington, D.C. and exercise their First Amendment rights. Now, if you can prove that he was doing that to fund the people who rushed, and if you can prove that he planned it, fine, that's one thing. But if it's people saying, hey, I want to protest, I want to bring my family, right? I need some extra cash for gas. That's not a crime. And yet he's now had his PayPal account taken down, and it's like he doesn't exist. They stole his money. I mean, this is what China does with their social credit scores. If you're against the Chinese government, if you're against the Chinese government, then they go, credit score zero. Can't buy a house, right? You can't go on a plane or a train or take any transportation around the country. Can't leave the country, right? Your ability to buy a car, get financing, it's just eliminated. Not because of whether or not you can pay back your debt, but whether or not you're a good communist. I mean, that's what's coming to this country. And I don't want to dive too deep into this because we're getting off the topic of impeachment, but this is incredible. It's been 3 days, 2 days since, not even, because it happened in the early morning hours of Thursday. It's been a day and a half since Joe Biden was certified as the winner of the Electoral College. And already we are seeing people deplatformed. We are seeing YouTube taking down any video that talks about irregularities, right? Which we aren't doing on this episode. Don't take me down, bro. Don't tase me, bro. We're seeing a complete cleansing. Again, let's put the image up. Put up image one. Again, image one. We're seeing a cleansing. And yeah, the reason that language is so terrifying is that is the language of genocide heirs. Yeah, using a little French, dropping a little French on you. Genocide heirs just means someone who commits genocide. The genocide heirs, the ones who say we need to cleanse the country of Jews. We need to cleanse the country of Hutus, Tutsis, right? We need to cleanse the country of Armenians. Cleansing, it's a word that has serious meaning. It is destruction for the purpose of making something better. Cleansing with fire, right? There's lots of different ways to describe it. They're talking about, it's a word that's used to describe extermination. Why? For political viewpoints? Don't be surprised that big tech is now censoring and deplatforming everyone when the political director for ABC is talking about cleansing the country. And that's apparently that falls under Joe Biden's plan to restore the soul of the nation. You got to cleanse it. Yeah. I mean, never forget, it was a Democrat who created the internment camps in World War II. It's a nice, rich history. People ask me, what can you do? We are running a fax blast today. Put pressure on Congress not to impeach the president. And it's incredible that you have people like Lindsey Graham saying, yeah, if Trump steps out of line one more time, I'll remove him from office. It's incredible. Mr. Producer, I Facebooked you a video. Let me know in Messenger if you're able to play it. This is Lindsey Graham going through an airport.
It's ready.
One day after basically saying, I'm done with Trump and his supporters. This is how Lindsey Graham was greeted at the airport. Let's go ahead and play a little bit of that video, Mr. Producer.
What's up, bro? This is the perfect moment in my life.
Born and raised in South Carolina, and I will make sure. I am not going to touch him. I'm not going to do anything. I'm allowed to speak. I am allowed to speak.
Lindsey, you're live on YouTube right now. Can you make a statement to the American people?
Lindsey, you're live on YouTube right now. Can you make a statement to the American people?
Lindsey, put on your mask.
You're safe, Lindsey. All right, let's cut it there.
Lindsey Graham is now getting the Mitt Romney treatment. I mean, that's how crazy this week has been. Lindsey Graham positioned himself as a Donald Trump supporter. Remember originally he said Donald Trump's crazy, don't vote for him. And then Donald Trump live on stage gave out Lindsey Graham's phone number. Everyone started calling him. Lindsey Graham put out that video of him destroying the phone to get rid of the number. That nice little thing. They used to be enemies. When Trump was sworn in, Lindsey Graham positioned himself as a Trump supporter. He used that to get reelected in a very close and tight South Carolina race. And Donald Trump's support put him over the top. Now that Trump is not going to be in office for a second term, Lindsey Graham says, I'm done. He's back to being Lindsey Grahamnesty. Right, this is what I talk about when I say the GOP uses people. They use you to get reelected. And once they secure that reelection, if you're in the House, you're elected for 2 years. If you're him in the Senate, 6 years. He doesn't have to pretend to be a conservative again for, I guess, 5 years, because he'll have to run in a primary. He has 5 years to stab us in the back before he has to come back around, pretend to be a conservative, and say, hey, listen, you might not like me. You need me in the seat, though, because if it's a Democrat, it'll be worse. Right? He has 5 years to do whatever he wants. Listen, this is how the GOP operates. And there was a comment yesterday, right as we were ending the live stream. It was a comment, I believe it was on Facebook. I don't remember who said it, but it stuck with me. I've been telling it to people all night. If you wrote it, give yourself a pat on the back, because it's an excellent analogy. The comment discussed what it means to stay in the GOP. And it was, treat this like you are a battered or abused spouse. Right? You stay in the relationship, you keep quiet, and you don't leave until you have a full plan. It was just so spot on. Right? Because that's what they tell people, like wives who are being beaten or abused. Don't just run. Stay in, be quiet, make your plan, and only leave when you're ready, when you know what you need to do, when you know how you're going to escape. Same thing here. We're in the GOP because right now there's no alternative. And yeah, we can all change our party affiliation, which feels very, very good to do that. But if you live in a state where you have to be a registered Republican to vote in a primary, it's kind of biting yourself, because you won't be able to primary these idiots. But if you live in a state where it's open primaries, by all means, unregister as a Republican. There will be third parties that get created, and they'll probably all need to get whittled down to one major third party. But for right now, we're in the GOP, and we have to keep putting pressure on the GOP to do what they promised to do. And on some issues, we'll win. On some issues, we'll lose. But we're going to fight nonetheless. And it starts today. I mean, it starts today with our fax blast to stop them from impeaching the president. The fact that there are Republicans who want to impeach the president purely because it would mean he no longer would be able to run for president is absurd. It's absurd. They are that eager to close the book on the Trump presidency that they would impeach a president a couple days before his term ends just so he could never run again. And we do have... Oh, I thought I had it. I had it, but for whatever reason, they took it down. It was getting overwhelming views online. I want to read you what the actual articles are from the. I want to read you what the actual articles are from this whole impeachment attempt. So there's 8 articles, and these are written by none other than Sheila Jackson Lee. So yeah. It's not entirely legible, and it kind of goes off on some tangents, but it's understandable. She has 8 articles. These are what her articles of impeachment against Trump that she is pushing, that Nancy Pelosi wants to put on the floor next week. This is what they say. Article 1 beats the dead horse and claims that Trump was soliciting and welcoming election interference from a hostile foreign power in 2016. So they're still not letting that go. They still are impeaching him for that. Article 2 accuses Trump of refusing to acknowledge the foreign interference. Which that's actually not even true. Like he has acknowledged that Russia interfered in the election. As we've always said, yeah, it was a few $1,000 of Facebook ads and they were in blue states. So what? Article 3 claims that Trump welcomed the interference again in an attempt to re-win his election. Article 4 accuses Trump of refusing to acknowledge Biden as the winner and instead claiming that the results were fraudulent, rigged, or illegitimate. It's not a crime to refuse to concede. which, yeah, Donald Trump did not concede yesterday. He did not say, I concede and I acknowledge defeat. He just says there'll be a transition of power. He's not, and he's not going to the inauguration. Remember, he just put that on social media. Article 5 accuses the president of using the Postal Service to stop people from voting. They're still dredging up that fake news. Incredible. Article 6 attempts to remove Trump by claiming his election lawsuits were frivolous. Article 7 claims Trump broke the law when he told his supporters that the election results were being stolen. And Article 8, the main claim, says that Trump, quote, failed to take action to prevent, to protect, and defend federal officers and personnel, property, buildings, and institutions on January 6, 2021 at the U.S. Capitol that was besieged by supporters of Donald John Trump, resulting in extensive damage to the property of the United States and the deaths of at least 4 persons. So yes, they are, in a roundabout way, Sheila Jackson Lee wants to impeach Donald Trump for essentially being an accessory to murder. I mean, this is how twisted and warped these people are. Just for posterity, let's, again, Mr. Producer, let's play cut 3, just so we can just get this out of the way again. Play cut 3.
We have come to demand that Congress do the right thing and only count the electors who have been lawfully slated. I know that everyone here will soon be marching over to the Capitol building to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard. Today we will see whether Republicans stand strong for integrity of our election.
So just in case we forgot that, it said peacefully march on the Capitol. And in case Miss Sheila Jackson Lee forgets, Mr. Producer, put it on my screen, the text of the First Amendment, that pesky First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right of the people to peaceably, the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Again, not condoning the people who rushed the Capitol, who punched, pushed, shoved, broke doors, broke windows, not condoning that at all. But the 99% of that crowd who wasn't doing that, they were there to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for a redress of their grievances. That is as constitutional as it gets. And Donald Trump did not tell them go bust through the doors and take hostages or kill people, wherever the left claims that he wanted. He said march there peacefully and let your voice be heard. But the left wants to impeach him anyway. They want to impeach him. They want to drag him out of office and declare him forever to be a twice impeached president. I mean, it was just last week that they wanted to impeach him for calling up the Georgia Secretary of State and saying there was election fraud. They're going to impeach him no matter what he does. And this is really the problem I have with this. The media went all in to portray Donald Trump as a villain from day one. You know damn well that when Joe Biden is inaugurated, CNN will back off. MSNBC will back off. Hell, Fox News might even back off. And people will not be told about the abysmal failure that is the Biden administration, right? Every single thing that Donald Trump did or said. Remember that old CNN story? Donald Trump gets 2 scoops of ice cream. Everyone else only gets 1. You think I'm kidding? That was a real CNN segment. Donald Trump gets 2 scoops, everyone else gets 1, meaning that he gets 2 scoops of ice cream. If you're eating with him, you only get 1. That was a real CNN scoop. They're not going to cover Biden like that. They're going to go back to covering him the way they covered Obama. No scandals, no scandals, no scandals, no scandals. The fact that we've been living under a 4-year bloodless coup of Obama administration officials trying to topple Donald Trump from within. They're going to go back and say, no scandals, no scandals. Doesn't matter that Biden's son is a crackhead running around the world selling his family name. Doesn't matter that Joe Biden actually met with the people while he was in office. No scandals, no scandals, no scandals. And if a Republican ever manages to win again, which is going to be a tall order with how much fraud there is. If a Republican ever manages to win again, you know the media will turn on them once again. So again, we have big news. Starting Monday, we're going to be having a two-hour podcast. It's going to be a little rocky starting out because we're changing formats. Anyone remembers this podcast began originally as just a 15, 20-minute stream of consciousness audio recording that I did on my phone. Anyone who's ever gone back and listened to episode 1, 2, 3, all those on Apple Podcasts or whatever, very, very short. We went to 1 hour, right? Then we went to every day when the pandemic started. Now we're going to 2 hours. I don't think the Saturday ones will be 2 hours. I think the Saturday ones will still be 1 hour. That's a lot of time. But weekdays will be 2 hours. That's a big change. It's going to require probably some growing pains, but we're going to work it out. And we're going to definitely keep the phone lines open. So if you want to talk and want to have your voice heard, call in. One of the great parts of the last couple of days has been people calling in. And yeah, I know this. It sucks. This feeling this week, I feel mentally, emotionally just drained. I feel mentally and emotionally drained with pretty much everything. Yeah, it sucks. It does. But you know what? We want to keep the phone lines open because it feels good getting it out. And yeah, if you have questions, I'm happy to answer them. I don't have the answers to everything, but if I do, I'm happy to talk you through things. So we're going to keep that line open. We're going to keep at the very least, it'll be the second hour of the show, open phone lines. Probably leave it open the first hour. Make sure you take advantage of that. And if you listen to the audio version of the podcast, something we haven't done, leave us a message. If you listen to the audio version of the podcast and you have something to say, leave us a message. Even if you just don't have a message about that, leave us a message about whatever it is that's bothering you. Who knows? It might be what we talk about the next day. Use that phone line, 888-441-1121, because that is your phone line. We don't give that to guests. We give that to you. So I'll just say I encourage everyone to use it. And just let us know what you think. Well, that's going to be it for this edition of the Conservative Daily Podcast. Thank you, everyone, for watching the show. I'll say it again. If the ban hammer comes down on us from YouTube or Facebook today, which it might, they're banning a lot of people for a lot of stupid reasons. I'll say it again. Make sure you text the word freedom to 89517. Make sure you click the link in the description to get our email newsletter. That's how we are going to keep people up to date with how the show will continue, because it will continue. If we have to self-host it, self-broadcast it ourselves, we will. There's lots of other platforms that are zero censorship that we could go to. It will continue, but if they take us down, that's how we're going to be communicating with people, by our text list and by our email list. So very, very, very important that you sign up if you haven't already. If you like the show, make sure you subscribe to the audio version of the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, or Podbean. We had a huge, huge day this week on the podcast. We had a day with 11,000 downloads, which is an all-time high. So if you like the show, even if you watch live, make sure you subscribe to the audio version of the podcast. Help us prove the numbers so we can get advertisers and grow the show. I mentioned the email newsletter, mentioned the text list. We are on Rumble. Rumble.com/user/conservative daily. That will definitely be one place that we put the videos after we go live. So make sure you check that out. We do have a link if you want to donate to our Eric Coomer/Dominion Voting Systems lawsuit defense. Anyone who saw Dominion today is suing Sidney Powell for $1.3 billion. She doesn't have $1.3 billion. They just want to make a name out of it. They want to make her a symbol not to go up against them. They might be suing us too. So make sure you donate to that link if you can. And again, we do have a link for our fax blast today to stop the GOP and the Dems from impeaching and removing President Trump. Again, that's going to be it for this edition of the podcast. I promise you that the fight to take back the country isn't over. It might seem like it is, but it isn't. But the only way we win is if we all stand up and fight together.